So good evening, everyone. As we talk about evolution, we are going to talk about our emotions as well. So it's interesting because usually, and for many lives, we have believed that our emotions are just something out of ourselves. We used to think, and many people still think, that we are simply intelligent beings. For many centuries, we have been influenced by the Cartesian view of the human being, of the fact that we are human beings because we think. If we think, we exist. Descartes, when he brought to us the concept that if you think, you exist, you are, then we start thinking that we are thinking beings. But are we simply thinking beings? What about our emotions? What do we do with our emotions? Our emotions are so powerful and striking that what we feel can change our lives in 1 second. A person can get married to somebody else in a split moment of feeling so infatuated that you propose marriage. And a war can begin in a split of a moment of anger. Our emotions are so powerful that no matter what we think, our emotions can spark the next either solution or the problem in our lives. We are emotional beings. Who said that? Many studies in science have already told us that we are thinking beings. And I want to show to ourselves the importance of acknowledging it. Because as in the Spirit's book, we get to know that the only way to improve ourselves or to control ourselves or to resist to the problems of our ignorance is to know ourselves. So to get to know more of ourselves, we need to dive deeply into the understanding of our emotions. First, from our physiology. Our physiology, the physical body, influences ourselves as much as it's influenced by ourselves as spirit. Knowing that our physiology has the physical body, the anatomy, and the dynamics of it, which we call the physiology, the functioning of the body, as gateways for expressing emotion, then we get to know that there are ways also to manage our emotions by managing how the physical body is expressing our emotions as well. That's why we go to the gym and then our anger diminishes so well. We can manage anger by exercising. We can manage anger by eating certain foods that can calm us down, and by avoiding certain foods that can actually boost anger inside of us. So, for example, if some foods get you hyperactive, and then emotions can be expressed in a more impulsive way because of that, then what do? You shut down those gateways by not creating that opportunity in your physiology. So that's why it's important to know that in our physical body, we have the neurobiology, the physiology, prepared to express emotions. The same physiology that in two different people can show different outputs for the same circumstance. Apparently, both have the same gateways to express reconciliation or anger. But one expresses differently from the other. Why? Then it's the part of the spirit. Of course, when we come to the spirit's center, we want to know more about how to change ourselves and improve ourselves at that level. So when the spirits told us, get to know more about yourself so you can resist the draw of evil. Let's go back just so we rewind that tape very clearly. When the spirits say, the most effective means to improve ourselves and to resist our own ignorance is to know ourselves. It means also getting to know more about the physical body. How can we not be depressed? And depression has an element of irritability as well. People think that depressed people are only those who sit quietly and sad on the side or stay laid down the whole day. Not necessarily. They have bursts of irritability as well in between those saddened moments. People often don't know that they are depressed because they've never read about the spectrum of depression and the symptoms of depression. So if I know that this is the case, and that's why knowledge is important, because then I get to know more about myself. I don't need to get to know of depression just because I'm going to become a psychologist or a doctor, but because I'm a human being. Or anxiety. Getting to know of the features of anxiety so I get to know more about myself, and knowing that the physical body will either trigger it even more, boost it, spark it, some tendency that I have, and more easily it will come out. I can probably control at that level as well. So when they say, know thyself, they are talking about know of yourself also at the physical body level. So we need to know that if I do certain things physically speaking, for example, meditation, prayer. Prayer can be also a good method for us to regain the renewal sensation of ourselves. Sometimes some silent moments. Sometimes a good conversation with a friend. Sometimes reading a good book can help us also manage those emotions. Also because we know that neuroscience in many ways showed us that we have inside of our brain specific areas. Specific areas, especially in what we call the limbic system, that manage this input and output of emotions. All right? Some people, they will, like this guy, see the same scene. They have similar structure in the brain, but the way in which this input of the circumstance comes in is processed. Either the input is processed differently or the output is going to come differently from someone else. The same circumstance. Why? Only spiritism explains. It's the spirit, the mold of this. If the physical body is molded by the perispirit, what then molds our perispirit? The spirit. So the spirit, yesterday we were reading this book by Leon Denis, O Problema do Ser, do Destino e da Dor. It's not in English yet. And it says about our vibratory condition, and it talks about the way in which the way we vibrate. And it's so pretty. Leon Denis is so poetic when he says that we as spirits, we are this divine focused beings that came out of the divine, and we keep on vibrating. And then the elements that we gather together as our spiritual body, they will be molded by the vibrations of ourselves. That's the evolution of the spirit. So our perispirit is vibrating that way. And then the physical body will be molded by that vibration. In that sense, what is going to move the vibrations from one state to the next? Our thoughts and our feelings. How often we don't know what we're feeling. Especially our children, they still don't know, but we need to teach them about how to define their feelings. If we don't know how to name them, we barely can change them. we haven't been taught about our emotions. We're either repressed in our lives or liberated. Yeah, you're allowed to feel that way. Or no, you're not allowed to feel that way. We were never emotionally, we can tell on earth somebody received a true emotional education approach, because it doesn't exist. Usually, we either repress or liberate feelings. But we don't know how to deal with it. That's why this workshop is for us to realize what our emotions are, so we can start dealing with them in a different way. Knowing that the physical body is simply going to express it, we can never blame the physical body. In the God at Home this week, the message that came to us in the gospel was precisely this. Do not blame your body. Do not punish your body for the things of the spirit. Because the body is not to be blamed for. Although it manages the emotions, it's not to be blamed for. I cannot, if I feel any impulse that is of a less noble nature, my body is not to be blamed for. Why? Because the body is just obeying the force of my spirit. Right? Makes sense. So then, with all the instructions of neuroscience and sciences in general, Daniel Goleman in the 80s, as a psychologist, he put together the information for the first time. You see how long it took? It took at least 20 centuries after Jesus for us to realize that we are emotional beings. Or let's rephrase it, to begin to realize. Because still nowadays, many people are going to say, I'm not emotional at all. Everybody is at some level, and we have emotions, even if we are not to overreact to things. But deep inside, some people, they don't express it in tears or in anger moments. But they swallow it, which is not different at all. And we forget that we need to educate this emotional intelligence. So if we say we are intellectually intelligent, we are also emotionally intelligent. But where are we at our intelligence? Because we evolve in that regard. So, because we are emotionally intelligent, we also have a social intelligence, which depends mostly on our emotional intelligence. Antonio Damasio, this leading neuroscientist in California, he explains to us that our rational capacity depends on our emotional management. It does. And the brain shows it. The same brain that processes our thinking processes also our emotions. The same brain. It's not a different part of us. Which means we have within our physiology the mechanism to process both what probably drives us to take decisions in two different levels. The thinking part of us and the feeling part of us. And the big deal here is how to put them together. Harmonize them. How often do we say, I'm thinking about this, but I'm feeling something else. We are not in sync within ourselves. We are not really harmonized and what we call nowadays centered. Because I think of something, but I feel the opposite. I think I need to love my brother, my mom, my dad, my neighbor, but deep inside I don't feel that way. What do I do? Usually, I disregard the feeling, repress it, and say, don't listen to that. But it keeps vibrating. Because emotions, we're going to see in some way, emotions and emotions is all about Paris for sure. Emotions is something that is a moving thing. If we go to the root meaning of the word, it means to move out something of ourselves. That's why emotions are so ephemeral. I can be feeling happy now. The next 5 minutes I can feel sad. And emotions are not such thing that you keep for the rest of your life. They are supposed to be a moving movement of yourself. The day we realize that I can be feeling angry today, and that's why Buddhism very wisely matches with the Jesus teachings, when Jesus, in some other words, said the same as Buddhism. When you feel something, you don't resist. You let it happen. Buddhism says the same. If you're feeling angry, if you read Dalai Lama's, one of the latest books of him, he says, the dealing of emotions is such that you let it out, you feel it, you observe it, instead of simply going there and repressing it. Not saying we should be angry and put it out, but feel it. Pain. Where does it feel? That's the main question. And Jesus said, do not resist evil. What does Jesus mean in that regard? When Jesus said that for us at this moment, it means observe it. Don't simply go and repress because you're not going to solve it. Get to know of it. So we feel it. And then in a moment of silence, prayer, or even crying, sometimes you can just experience it. Instead of simply saying, some people tell me, I don't cry. So proud of themselves because they don't cry. But in crying, there is something of divine. Because if God made tears, they are for us to be used. Use the tears that are coming out, because they come with the movement of our emotions. Not saying we're going to be crying babies now. That's not the point. But we're going to allow the mechanisms that God gave us in our physiology to be used to go with the flow of our emotions. So if we feel like it, we let it happen. That doesn't make us any weaker or any stronger. But we're just respecting the fact that at that moment, the emotions are pushing the button of our physiology, which is to let the tears out. As they come out, we are allowing the movement of our emotions also to flow, and we can experience it. Because when you cry, if you observe when you cry, you feel relieved for the most part. I am not into the neuroscience of crying, but I will research more to get to know more, because there is probably a mechanism inside of our bodies that makes us feel relieved. I don't know which structures in the brain are being pressed upon while we're crying, but there is this sense of relief because we allowed, we didn't block those emotions from flowing. And if we keep blocking, psychology shows us, blocking our emotions all the way, there will be a day we'll get sick. Inevitably. Some people get to develop cancer. Other people develop, for example, back pain. Because instead of putting out and allowing this emotion to come out, they swallowed it. We're not saying we're going to vent on people. We're just saying that with ourselves, we're going to allow, get to know of what we feel and recognize it. Recognizing that sometimes we want to be appreciated and we're not feeling appreciated. How do you feel when you're not feeling appreciated and you want to feel appreciated? You feel what? Sad? Sometimes angry? Sometimes upset? Whatever name we give to it. If I simply tell myself, I don't care. Sometimes I am at school and I want to play with my friend. But my friend wants to play with another friend. I get jealous. I get upset. And then, so I feel angry. Then I go there and start messing up with the crayons or something. If I know, okay, before I do that, I said, you know, that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling jealous because I wanted my friend to play with me. Then instead of reacting and creating another thing just to make my friend jealous or something, I say, you know, it's okay. My friend is probably not aware that I want him or her to play with me. So instead of creating something so we fight, I will just play with someone else. Not to make him jealous or to make her jealous, but to go there and play. And then when he realizes or she realizes that I want to play with him or her, then we play. And then I don't create that emotion that will be repressed and allow it to feel. I acknowledge. So the first step to understanding our emotions and the evolvement of them is to know that it's possible and important to acknowledge that they exist. The problem is not feeling jealous. The problem is not to feel hatred. The problem is not to feel angry. The problem is what you do with your emotions. If we allow them to eat us up, our lives will be destroyed. If I have a problem with feeling abandoned, the problem is not feeling abandoned. The problem is what I do with that feeling. But if I go search for help, if I go dive deeply on the root of this feeling of abandonment, which means taking responsibility for it. I was listening to Deepak Chopra and he was giving this recommendation, which is so wise. Take responsibility for your feelings. Do not blame on others for how you're feeling. Because after all, two people can be in your same situation and they can be feeling completely different for the same stimulation. Just like a snake. Maybe a snake can be here. Somebody can say, oh, that's a beautiful animal. It wouldn't be me, although I respect the snakes. But the other one is going to say, oh my Lord, I'm so afraid. Is the snake to be blamed for it? You can't blame the snake for feeling either fearful or joyful, admiring God's creation, the snake. If a dog comes here, I can say, wow, what a beautiful dog, and start feeling heavy with the presence of the dog. Others can say, you know, I'm afraid of it. I don't care about it. Is the dog to be blamed for the feelings? So this is good to know. Thich Nhat Hanh, the other Vietnamese Buddhist who got the Nobel Prize for helping, he has amazing books. Recently, he released a beautiful interview at Oprah's magazine as well, but his books are amazing. He has one book about anger, in which he talks about cooling the flames down. And he says, we should not repress the feeling of anger, but we should get to know of it. Get to know of it is to know that it exists inside of us. But once I know, acknowledging it is the first step to know that this is just an expression of something that is coming out. Now, what do we do next? We get to know more about the root of it so we can change that vibrational state. Because after all, it's all chemistry in the universe. If we are vibrational beings, we are vibrating. Everything that comes towards us, the energy, at all levels, thoughts of other people, feelings, visual cues, auditory cues, whatever it is, it's going to change or try to change that vibrational state. Why do we say that Jesus, he was there, people tried to tease him all the time? He was unchanged. Why? Because he was in complete control of what was coming out of himself, which we call emotions. He knew so much about emotions, his thinking process was clear. His emotional output was perfect because he was able to receive the same things that would probably set us off very easily. Whereas on him, it was like, I understand you. Why? Because he knew that what is coming from other people are coming from them because it belongs to them, not to him. He didn't buy into their emotions. So the evolvement of emotions, the understanding of the evolvement of emotions, encompasses not only the acknowledgement of their nature, but to the source of them. To the source of them. Knowing that what we feel belongs to us. And people that are like ourselves. That's the part of the spirits that mingle with us all the time. If I am feeling happy because I'm sitting next to Aloysio and he's feeling happy, we are alike at that moment and we are exchanging those vibrations. We're feeling alike. I cannot blame Aloysio for feeling as happy as he is because he's happy. Because I attuned with him, right? But I can learn with the process that in getting to know more about the aspect that we got in sync, I got to know more about myself and the commonalities between us. So that's the law of society. A lot of our emotions we can learn from one another. I cannot learn about myself going to the top of the mountain and retreating there. I will never evolve. That's a sure thing. I will only conquer the control of my emotions if I continue on learning how I am by dealing with people. By getting together with them. Because in this exchange, I will learn more about myself. And I'll learn more about what are the things that are moving out. Because when I talk about emotion, we're talking about things that are moving out. Where are the things that were moving out of Jesus? What are the things that were moving out of Jesus? What were Jesus' emotions? They were the most aligned. Because they were emotions that were truly in sync with the divine mind. No inferior thought was crossing his mind. We have no account of it whatsoever. Even for the people that want to tell us the story about when he went to the desert, was tempted. I think probably the word was mistaken there. Tempted. Tempted only for somebody who is at a level. He wasn't. Not at all. The way they got to know of it, how they interpreted what Jesus shared with them, because nobody was there. Who was telling us the story so we could know of it in the Bible? Nobody was there in the desert with him. The other day I was telling a story to a friend, and then this friend told another friend who told another friend, and at the end of the line, the story was changed. I'm like, imagine the many things we had to know that are probably mistaken in the Bible. The good things were kept for God's sake. They were. No doubt about it. They were meant to be. Some things were off. And why did God allow the things to be off in the Bible? to show us that we are the ones that also create our own story, and we are co-responsible for one another's progress, and we are also participating in the evolvement of the planet. So Jesus is showing to us that these emotions, we are the ones that can control the output of what moves from within ourselves. Barbara Ann Brennan tells us in this book, Hands of Light, that usually most of us react to what is unpleasant by blocking the feelings and stopping their natural flow. This is human nature at our level. If I tell you something that is not pleasant, very likely you're going to hold on to your breathing process. You're going to... Right? Whereas if I tell you something that is comfortable, you're going to like allow even the breathing to flow naturally. You're going to slowly breathe, deeply breathe. Whereas if you're watching something in the TV, on the TV that is quite violent, if we could record some physiological measurements, you see how they change. It's poisonous, the killing, because it changes the way we breathe, the pattern, the rhythm. It changes the way our heart beats. It's like we are poisoning ourselves with such things. So, unpleasant experience. And then she says that it's going to block the flow of energy within our chakra system. That's why it's very important for us to make our lives as pleasant as possible. But not this ephemeral pleasure that we're talking about. We're talking about sublime pleasure. Because ephemeral pleasure is probably not going to be as we think. We're talking about deep pleasure of the clear conscience. Well, but there is a question here. Where do our emotions come from? Usually, when we talk about pleasure, we talk about passion. Passions in life. I feel passionate about something, or I fall in love with something or somebody. Is it a sign of evolvement? That's one of the questions that Kardec actually asked the spirits. Question 191 of the spirits book. Do passions indicate in any way involvement of ourselves? And the answer was yes. It is okay to be passionate about something, but it's not a sign of perfection. And they explain more. They are actually a sign of activity and awareness of the self. You see, some people, when they are depressed, you ask them, what do you like to do? You say, I don't know. They used to love doing certain things or eating certain things. They stopped their movement. So when we are on track, we know what we like. It's the awareness of the self. It's important to teach our children, not what we like. So they realize what they like, not to spoil them, but to create on them this sense of awareness of themselves. Saying, what do you like? And they say, oh, I like guns. Good. Because now we're going to work on it. That's the best time to work on it. If we say, don't ever say this. No, no, tell me. Tell me more. What else do you like? Oh, I like seeing this and that. Okay, like Divaldo Franco, the story of the boy. They used to take a knife because, and Divaldo asked, what is it with this knife? He said, because I like, and he was very little, I like the feeling of putting in somebody's belly and twisting it around and feeling the warm blood coming out in my hands. think the guy, the boy, was only 5. What did Divaldo do? Was he like, oh, don't ever say this again? He said, no, no, no. Let me tell you one thing, my dear. Divaldo knew was a tendency of the past. A murdered reincarnated. Murderer reincarnated. What do you do to re-educate the boy? Repress him, say, don't never say this again. Don't never touch a knife again. So Divaldo explains very clearly in one of his books about this. And I think it's the new generation. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Is it? I love myself, Daniel. Thank you. I love myself. I'm addiction free. He talks about these tendencies of the past that come out. And he said, he teaches in the book very clearly the educational method. One of the things is to talk to the boy about why he's feeling this. And saying, look, you don't need that anymore. You find also pleasure in something else. You see that this is not needed anymore. It's a habit that he got into himself. We are conditioning beings. If I get used to feeling such emotion, I can get addicted to emotions too. How do we know it? Science has already proved it. In the brain, if I feel something, the brain releases chemicals and create receptors to process those chemicals. And it's just like a drug. I can keep feeling it and the brain preparing itself to put out receptors so that chemistry can happen. And that's how addiction to emotions happen as well. If I am used to feeling, for example, joyful at something, every time I see it, the brain, the physiology gets red to process it. And it can ask for more. That's why when people start doing good to other people, they not only feel good, but they want to keep on doing so they keep on feeling good. That's why you ask people like Divaldo, why do you do what you do? There's no money. There's a lot of problems, a lot of sacrifice. Oh, because it feels good. Just because. And the physiology, God is so nice to us that God created a physiology to not only accommodate the good that we do, but to boost that good inside of us. Say, if you do good, the physiology is going to reward you. And if you keep on doing good, the physiology is going to reward you, and then it's going to ask for more. And you see people, when they start in this pathway of doing good and feeling good, they want to create more. They say, what's the next project? I want to do something else. Because it's like an addiction, but a good addiction, if I can say good addiction. It's about that emotion. Neuroscience nowadays shows very clearly the good that we feel when we do good. And we put that emotion out. And we want more and more and more. So it's a sign of activity because we are supposed to move. We're not supposed to stay stagnated, stay stationary. We're supposed to evolve. Law of progress. So our emotions are supposed to change. We are supposed to move forward. If we've been like this all our lives and it doesn't serve us purpose of evolving, we're supposed to change for our own benefit, not for somebody else's benefit, for our own benefit. Thank God this happens in this way. So talking about emotions, one of the most striking parts of the Gospel according to Spirit is that we read and we barely realize is this passage in chapter 11, item 8. We entitled it Evolution of Emotions, and it's a very short paragraph that sometimes we just pass on by, we don't realize, and it says the root of our emotions where they are. So then we get to know why it's possible to evolve, to see the evolution of emotions inside of us. Because they say everything begins with instincts. When we talk about instincts, we talk about the divine nature, the seed. Let's talk about it in an analogy. Give me an example. For example, the dog and the litter, the children, the little dogs, okay, the puppies, the mom. The instinct of taking care of the puppies, that's love at that level. It's an instinct. The mom, the dog mom, is not thinking, oh, I need to go there and feed the puppies. She just goes, feed the puppies. Goes there, lick the puppies. We did a study actually at the University of Maryland, and we actually published it, very, very interesting and beautiful, about the little animals, when they had the puppies, they had the paws inflamed. And we observed for the next 76 hours the behavior of the mom. Different from the moms that had no inflamed paw puppies, she would not eat and stay with the puppies, licking them, around of them, sniffing them, feeding them for as long as inflammation existed. By the time inflammation was gone, then she retreated for many hours to take care of herself. But for as long as the puppies had their paws inflamed, nobody told her, hey, paws inflamed, go there, do something. She stayed there licking and feeding them around, giving the warmth to the bodies, many different behaviors. And that clearly changed in so many ways their behavior in the future of the puppies. That's another story then of the long-term effects of that neonatal happening, let's say. Not only the injury, but also the maternal behavior that changed. So we are talking about this instinct being there. Then this instinct evolves into sensation, the spirits say in the gospel. From sensations, they evolve into feelings. Remember when Celia was explaining last week about how we evolve from kingdom to kingdom? We learned in different kingdoms to take care of our litter. Now, when we take care of our children, for example, we are not at the instinct level anymore saying, oh, I have to. It's beyond that. It's about feeling bad when our children are not feeling well, and then willing to care for them no matter what. Because we understand there is a reason for us. So we are talking about moving from simply instincts into the sensations and then the feelings. But still, at our level, some things inside of us are still at instinct level. And we need to recognize when we are reactive. When I am being defensive, I realize that certain things inside of me are still at instinct level because I'm still reacting. The day I get to Jesus' level, I will turn these instincts into feelings so I control them. The movement of what is inside out, I control it. So then it's not instinctive anymore. Somebody shouts at me, instead of simply saying something else in return that is not very good, I can elaborate more because I left the instinct level, evolved, and got to the level where understanding and compassion got to me, and then I don't need to be defensive and reactive, etc. Right? That is a possibility. But to walk this, the spirits say, takes time. Takes effort. It takes a lot of work together with the people whom we live with. Alone, we cannot walk this path. We need to work together. But it's possible. So next time we realize that something is coming out instinctively, reactively, I remember of this, that I'm here. And then I start doing what we hear nowadays and just matches with what Jesus recommended to us. When they say, observe it. So bring it to the level of sensation. When the Buddhists, they say, when Tara Brach said in her book, Radical Acceptance, that's why she said Radical Acceptance, she says, when you're feeling something that is unpleasant or painful, instead of repressing or liberating, observe it. She's saying, leave the realm of instinct and work at the level of sensation. Mm-hmm. And they say, use your body as a thermometer. Because they say, observe where you feel something. That's very wise. Because if we have our physical bodies for a purpose. So we use it as a thermometer. Let's say I'm feeling frustrated. Where do you feel something? Because the body will point it out. Some people, when they are feeling afraid, they feel something here in the stomach. That butterfly feeling. Some people feel nauseated. Some people feel headaches when they are angry. Some people feel pain in their whole bodies when they are feeling depressed. The emotion is moving out. It's coming out. So we observe it. And they say, observe it. To observe it, you need to quiet down. Breathing deeply in and out, and feel where is it. So we brought it from instinct to sensation. The next level, which is feeling, to bring that emotion into this feeling, which means to elaborate it, then we will, after acknowledging it, then we need to take other measures. And we'll talk more about this as we come to the last of this story. Last part of it. Joanna De Angelis helps us by telling in this book, Self-Discovery, Chapter 2, that self-awareness begins by asking ourselves, how do I react to myself? Then, what is my behavior towards others? If I take that empowerment of knowing that everything that I feel, I have ownership of it. If I realize one day that no matter how people behave, what I feel is mine. Remember the snake. A snake can be here. What you feel is yours. It's not the snake's problem. Somebody can be here. If I feel happy or angry about it, it's not that person's fault. It's something inside of me that is interpreting that person's presence as harmful. It's not the person's problem. Even if the person wants to hurt me, as Jesus, they wanted to hurt him. What did he do? Did he feel afraid? No. Because he knew what people feel is theirs. Even the ones that want to harm us. It's easy to say, I know, because I'm learning myself. I'm not saying because I master it. And I tell you, I do not master it at all. But these teachings are empowering for us. And usually they say the people who give such talks are the ones that need the most. Recognize it. And how shall I develop my feelings towards myself and others? That's the empowerment. When I learn that it's possible to change, now you know that our emotions evolve. Some of them are still at instinctive level, others at sensation, and others will become true feelings. And it's on us to push them to be developed and to evolve. Knowing that we can change from being an angry person to being peaceful as Gandhi. Did you know that Gandhi, as a lawyer, before he became the Gandhi we know, he was quite an angry person. We have accounts of how he was angry with his wife, how angry and demanding he was onto other people. And he became the Gandhi you know. He worked on himself. Chico Xavier. This is his ear. Chico Xavier, when he got to know of Spiritism, he was quite fragile in many ways. Not only in the movie we see this, but reading the literature and the accounts and talking to the people who lived with him, he evolved as well in the ownership of his emotions. When he was sued because of the book that he received from Brother X, he was quite afraid. He was so afraid that at the time he didn't trust Emmanuel when he said, "Do not worry." He didn't care. He called a lawyer and his friends and he was like scared. At the end of his life, he could slap on his face, say whatever. He was the owner of his emotions. He evolved because he got to know that we can boost this capacity, which is inside of ourselves, to take ownership of our emotions, irrespective of what other people are doing around us. We're not saying we're going to be in the worst environment with people that are harming us and say, "Oh, I have to stay here." No. We're saying, if I can, I have to be there for some reason, I'll work inside of me. Well, when Joana de Angelis says this, we realize that some factors are playing a role on our emotions, which is things we bring from the past and the spiritual network around us. The guys around us can boost the best emotions or the worst in us. And vice versa. We can get our obsessors quite upset, believe me. If we think they are pushing the buttons, we're pushing theirs as well. You know how? By doing the same things that made them, that harmed them and hurt them in the past. They look at us like, "My goodness, I can't believe this person is still the same." And they become quite mad. So we also have the duty to work on our emotions so we can stop upsetting the guys that justifiedly are watching us. Not saying they're right, but there is a good and fair reason for them to be after us, observing. Let's see when she's going to be different. I want to see it. And then we don't. And we'll be co-responsible for keeping them. We were flying from Colombia back from a spiritist meeting to the U.S. And luckily, we got this... to know this Brazilian judge who was a spiritist. He sat next to us. And then he started talking. He said something so wise. He said, "It is not charitable." If I am mistaken, people can correct me. But in other words, he said, "It's not charitable to keep doing the same things that upset our obsessors, because then we are not releasing them from their anger." These are the English version of what he said in Portuguese, which is very interesting. But our emotions can be also evolved if we get to know of these factors. And the top level of emotional balance, as we said, can be expressed in the Sermon of the Mount. And if we say the top of the mountain is when we reach that emotional level that Jesus expressed in this phrase. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And they say meek because it's when we leave that instinctive level, when we're not reactive anymore to anything, and we actually are proactive. Meek means mild and moderate, no extreme. Not like not doing anything or overdoing it. Not feeling anything or feeling too much. It's that moderation. And in that moderation, this is the top of the mountain. Of all emotions, the conquering of our emotions is to love our enemies. To love those who tease us, who create problems, etc., etc. And that's why Jesus said that above all, Emmanuel said in regard to Jesus that the Master meant that we should preserve ourselves from the poison of hatred. Thus, we should avoid our great fall into inferior uselessness and destructive disputes. And when he says this, he's talking about the love of our enemy, that in the Spirit's book, question 887, means two things according to the Spirits. To love our enemies means to forgive them and to return good for evil. To return good for evil, in other words, means to pray for them, to wish them good, and to do good to them. When we talk about this, it reminds us, as we could wrap up the story of the conquering of our emotions. Our emotions rely mostly on whom we are. One measurement of our mental health is our self-esteem. Self-esteem is all about how we feel about and perceive ourselves. So, to work on the evolvement of our emotions, there is one key word: to get to know more about ourselves. And the story Jesus is about to tell us in this book, Jesus at Home, chapter 39, he explains very well the target, what we need to focus upon. He says that the human mind, deals with temptations in different ways. The disciples were together. They were talking about this emotion that is quite unsettling, which is temptation. Temptation is not about looking at somebody else's wife or husband. No, temptation is beyond it. Temptation sometimes is when you want to feel healthy and you have the worst junk food in front of you, as delicious as it can taste, but it's so poisonous that can trigger a stroke if you are at the edge of their physiological numbers. That's temptation. Temptation is also about the way we feel about ourselves. When we look at ourselves in the mirror after a whole very tiring day, frustrating day, and we look at ourselves, and the first thing we want to tell us is, you are a loser. That's temptation as well. We can characterize temptation in many ways. The disciples were telling Jesus, what is it with temptation that really can unsettle us pretty bad? Because that's when our emotions, we derail at the level of our emotional approach. And Jesus said, smiling, Neil Lucio reports to us, kindly and smiling, he says, well, there was a man who was a good servant of the Lord. In his city, he would do the best things to help everybody. He was a good, faithful servant of the Lord. But the evil spirits, Jesus says, they were quite disconcerted with the fact that no matter how hard they tried to push the buttons of this guy, he never derailed. So what did they do? One of the evil spirits, which Jesus called the lesser evil demon, he went to talk to the great adversary of darkness. This is the guy. He went to talk to one that was more powerful in evilness. And he said, hey, how about to destroy that guy? How about if we strip him of all his worldly possessions? Yeah. And then the great adversary, who was more experienced, he said, you don't know. No, that wouldn't work. For a servant of this caliber, the loss of material resources means freedom. Thus, he would find 1,001 ways to increase his contributions to humanity. You see the parenthesis here. For a servant of this caliber, maybe it would work for us. How many of us, if we have financial problems, oh my God, it's the end of the world. Because we are not of this caliber yet. But that's good to know, one day we'll be at this caliber. And that was not going to unsettle us. Well, the lesser demon then kept on insisting with ideas. How can we make him derail in his emotional balance? This is about emotional balance. Somebody wants to put us down. Best thing they can do is to target our emotional balance. That's what they were trying to plan out. He said, oh, well, what if then we punish his family? Let's pay attention to this. Punish his family by breaking it up and forcing his children to fill him with disgrace and ingratitude. Isn't that a common strategy nowadays? How many families experience this? No matter how hard you try to educate your children, they will fill you up with ingratitude and disgrace. Well, the greater adversary of evil, they said, of good, he said, don't you see that that would enable him to easily become part of the whole family, the universal family, which is composed of everyone? That's going to serve to the opposite. No. Another idea. Maybe it would work if we failed his body, ridding it with sores and afflictions, then creating diseases and physical problems, etc. How many people would then stop working for goodness because they're, oh, I got sick. That's why we see the greatest servants, they never stop. No matter if they have a headache, pneumonia, everything. I've seen Divaldo Franco coming to Baltimore, getting to Baltimore with pneumonia, and he gave his talk and went to the next stop station. He didn't stop. He didn't go back to Brazil and said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't come because I have pneumonia. At 80 years of age. He was not 16, 17. And we tell our children, oh, if you have a headache, don't go to school. Great. You're teaching well. Because then when they get older, if they have a cold, they're not going to do anything. No, go, conquer the world, whatever you're feeling. And this guy said he would find then ways to stoke his trust in God and would take advantage of the opportunity to bring about the inner renewal of many people with his example of patience and serenity in pain. Chico Xavier. Is that why he allowed the diseases to be there and stay there? Also to help us understand that this is of this world and we should not stop doing what we need to do because the physical body is not in perfect condition. Some people are waiting for the best financial resources, the best harmonious conditions, the best physical health to go there and help other people. It's never, ever, ever gonna happen. Because it didn't happen even with Jesus. He didn't have any wealth to help anybody. He helped irrespective of it. Well, the lesser demon said, so then let's encourage slander, suspicion, gratuitous hatred towards him, against him. And the great adversary said, no, no. Then a lot of people would regard him as a martyr and a redeemer. He would make use of all the persecution in order to better edify himself in heaven's eyes. Isn't that what happened to the best of the best in this world? Then this guy said, well, wouldn't it be best just to murder him without mercy? You know, that happened to Euripides Barsanulfo and even other people whom we know. There were spirits who tried to murder him to see if it would stop him, but they didn't succeed. It happened to him. And then the great adversary said, death would be the sweetest of blessings for him. And then you can figure out this guy was puzzled. He said, I don't know then what to do. Of course he didn't know. He wasn't as experienced in evilness. Well, and these are the words of the book. If you think they're strong, don't blame me. They are in the book. Don't be so stupid, this guy said. Go and tell this man that he amounts to zero in creation, that he's no more than an unknown, tiny, grub-worm. Give him to understand his own insignificance so that he'll never amount to anything, and you'll see. And this guy said, okay, I'll try that. So he went down to the servant and started whispering things that probably we hear every day. Let's see. How can you dare believe that your dust destined deeds have any value? Don't you feel like you are a mere plaything of the lower passions of the flesh? Aren't you ashamed of the animal nature you harbor within your very being? And kept on telling him, you're nobody. See how many mistakes you have. Who are you to help other people? And start telling him these things. You're nobody. How can you go there? If we could tell nowadays for a spirit, how can you go there and help other people in the center? Give passes, give talks, or help in the center if you lie, if you cheat, if you have bad thoughts about people, you talk bad about people, you have hatred in your heart, you don't even love the people God put in your life. And we hear these things over and over again. Well, it's good to know that this is the best plan that there is out there to put somebody's emotional balance. That's what they tried. And guess what happened to this guy? Can you guess what happened? Because he was not a spiritist. Back then, there was no spiritism. To get to know more about this, he made him stop. He felt like he's not up to helping anybody because he has many imperfections. He stopped helping. One day he felt depressed. He died, and he found out in the afterlife that he failed at the last test that he needed to endure. So our emotional balance depends solely in this conquering of our emotions and our self-esteem. And that's why we would recommend this CD, Inner Journey, with these visualizations that are all about the evolvement of our emotions, releasing some that are not useful, conquering new ones. The second track is about a visualization that Joana de Angelis put together, inspired in Victor Hugo. When we conquer problems and the way we feel about them, and the last track is about what they say, the inner balance, when we release unhealthy emotions and conquer new ones to the levels of feelings, leaving the instincts to feelings. We are being called tonight to do the opposite of what this servant did. Instead of surrendering to this whispering, we should actually raise ourselves up now that we know that our emotions can be worked out. And imperfection is just about human nature, because we are not angels. At human level, cannot be perfect. Perfect are only found in the next kingdom of the spirit, which is the angelic one. So knowing of this, less pressure on us, and less pressure means more acceptance, and as Tara Brach said, radical acceptance to how we are and how we feel. Any questions you'd like to share before we wrap up with the passive service? Any questions? Yasko, please share.
Well, of course we are not in the level, far from the level of Jesus, but I feel that he was upsetting somehow the concept that those people had, the majority that were upset with him. He was trying to come with new things, with a challenge, even provocative way to be a human being. Mm-hmm. Well, if we do this in our level, because we will do in a more, how to say, rough way, because we don't ourselves have the balance, we will provoke more clearly, or we will hit that sore spot that we try, the other one would try to put down, mm-hmm. hide. So what will be the our act? It's just not to deal with this, with that issue with the person that's so close to us, you know, knowing that that is a sore spot. And it kind of contributing to the person to still keep hiding. The same we could make to ourselves. You know, we don't face what our mother or some friend tried to tell us. Look, you have these little things, you have to be aware that you have this sore spot. We should back off, or, you know, because we are not in this way of Jesus to come with parables. You know, we don't know how to deal in parables, you know, which would be the safest way.
Mm. When the spirits say about get to know of ourselves, again, the example of why does this dog here in this room makes me feel this way and not that way? Because it's not about the dog, it's about what is inside of me. Why the myth of, or the chemistry of that reaction is making me feel this way? Getting to know why will bring us a solution to that. And that may take a while, but we need to be proactive in the search. Why do we feel that way? Should we make other people responsible for what we're feeling? Because another person could be experiencing the same thing and not feel the same. For example, children to mother. Two children, one mother. Same behavior of the mother, the two children have different reactions. Why? Is it the mother's problem? No. The source of that feeling is within. That's why a psychologist who is a spiritist and very good friends with Divaldo Franco, she said she realized that the root of the trauma that happens in childhood is not in this life. The ones that create the trauma are the ones that actually have something that they brought from a previous life that made them predisposed to that circumstance. Which means, as she explained to me, a child, for example, I can have two children again and the same mother. The same mother behavior. This child became traumatized and this didn't. Why? This child had a predisposition with this mother from a previous life. If deep inside I held grudges regarding this spirit that now is my mother, whatever she does to me, I will develop that trauma. So I cannot blame on my mother, not either myself. It's just the chemistry of that learning experience. Whereas the other child didn't have that predisposition. So what we're saying is, how do I deal with the sensitive points that we have in a relationship with somebody? If I could put in some other words. I need first to get to know of what's happening inside of me and dig deeply inside of me. Take responsibility for our own feelings in that relationship. Usually, we're still so instinctive that when something is unpleasant, we block it and we still either fight or flight. That's very animal inside of us. So if you do something to me, I either go and fight or I say, I don't want to see you ever again. But when we go to the next level, we deal with it. Ideally, at adult level, we first think of ourselves, of what belongs to me in that regard, of the feeling. And then whatever is possible to make a deal with that person, I sit down with the person, knowing that we're not at animal level anymore, to feel threatened by someone else. Because that feeling of threatened, the threatening feeling, belongs to the level of the animals. So if I take somebody else's behavior not as something threatening to me, but something that belongs to them, then I can deal with it with ease or more easily. Because then I look at them and say, well, this belongs to them. Let me see how we can work our chemistry in a different way. Something that is not well with you is pushing something that is not well within me. And then it's like we are gravitating towards that so we can help each other with our own sensitivities. But I think taking responsibility for what we're feeling is the first step. Not blaming on the other person. Doesn't mean we're not going to sit down with the person and saying, look, I think that's how I feel and that's the reason why I feel it. But now let's talk it over and see how and why you're bringing this to me. Because it's not about you being like this because of me or vice versa. But we gravitating to each other so we could get to know of this mechanism we have inside of us. That's a more mature perspective of the situation. Children cannot do this. Not this children. I mean, the children inside of us cannot do this. Our childish nature still prefers not to go over this, not to deal with it, and put it aside, forget, pretend it doesn't exist, all different kinds. But if we want to grow more mature, we'll talk with ourselves first, dig deeply about where the sensitivity comes from, this life, previous lives, and then if possible, talk to the person and help one another find out why the sensitivities are pushing each other's. Because a well-resolved person like Jesus, we could come as troubled as we were, and Jesus would not be unsettled at all. Why do unsettled people come to us and then we fall apart? Because it's pushing something that is similar inside of us. Interesting. You see how far we still are from getting to our emotional, our desired emotional balance, because we still don't understand the mechanisms of our emotions. But knowing that emotions can change, they can evolve. It said that visualizations, mindful meditation, can be truly empowering. We are living in a century where emotional balance becomes of the essence. Intellectual achievements are something of the 20th century. It's second nature now in the 21st century. The big deal is to conquer ourselves emotionally. That's why at this very moment that our planet needs to evolve emotionally speaking, we have all these resources widespread in the planet. We've never talked so much about meditation, about visualizations, about the reprogramming of our minds and feelings. So we truly should dive deeply into getting to know, learning these techniques. This CD can be a great resource. Meditation techniques can be a great resource for conquering this inner balance that we look forward. And this can be done at work. I often do this at work because it's probably one of the easiest places for me. Lock my door, my BlackBerry, have the visualizations, 15 minutes. Nobody will ever know that you're doing it. They don't need to know. Sometimes once a day. Don't need to be three times a day. Once a day. In the bathroom, if you have no other place. In the bathroom, you lock the door. Nobody can come in. Of course, if you don't have very little children, because they come after you even in the bathroom. But, and then you need to find a collaborator. Keep the child for 15 minutes while I do a visualization. But we need to find the means to separate at least those 15 minutes a day to do these visualizations. Now you have, everybody's have cell phones that can put MP3s. You put it in and you keep that visualization within you and you conquer the emotions. Nourish the spirit and resettle. Make those instincts evolve to feelings. All right? Let's keep thinking about it as we now propose a short, very short visualization / meditation to prepare for the passive service. Something we can do every day. Let us empower ourselves. Breathing in, feeling the breathing, the inhaling of this healing oxygen, and breathing out. Breathing in, you acknowledge your existence. Breathing out, you let yourself be. Breathing in, you feel the presence of your physical body. Breathing out, you bless this instrument of your reincarnation. Breathing in and out. gently. You feel the pleasure of breathing. Acknowledging your lungs for the capacity of exchanging the air inside of you, nourishing your physical body. And you visualize your heart, symbolically representing the center of your emotions. Look at the color of it. Now, as you breathe in, you acknowledge the existence of your heart. As you breathe out, you see it turning redder. It becomes more beautiful, brilliant, pulsating, because it's acknowledged by you. As you breathe in, you acknowledge your heart's existence, and as you breathe out, you allow it to pulsate with more vitality. Sending healing molecules to your body. As your mind is being nourished by the minds of the guardian angels here present. Visualize hands of light touching your heart with their healing light. See the spots where there is some soreness being healed. You become stronger. You become ever more vital for your own vitality. Feel the sensation. As the spirit doctor in front of you operates on your heart of emotions, healing all hurts and sores. The light comes, and as a plastic surgery, makes it become brand new. Feel this light going from your heart to your mind, to your head, and all the other body parts. Irradiating from you to all of your relationships, healing them all. Feel this light of protection and healing, and allow it to take place inside of you as we call the practitioners to serve as instruments of our Father in the universe.